the shopkeeper, he's really struggling where he is. Some horrible things going on. I wrote to his MP and they've replied, which is brilliant. And they are talking about assisting him. So just pray that Lewisham Council will get their finger out and move these people, because his wife's pregnant. And they're suffering really badly, racial abuse and all sorts of stuff, being yelled at. They can't use the bathroom because he's in such a state. And it's being used for drugs and all that stuff. So it's really horrible. So just keep on praying for them. And he's praying as well. And just pray that he meets with the Lord Jesus as well. He's a Muslim guy, but such a great guy. You know, really, he's always been lovely to us. So just pray for him and his family, if you would, and his little daughter, his baby daughter Miriam, and the unborn child, of course. Where were we? I'm going to speak to you. We've been doing a study on. I'm getting in the way. Sorry. We've been doing a study on Numbers, and it's the children of Israel. You know, they came out of Egypt. You know that story. Come out of Egypt, and then they made their way across the wilderness and so on. They went to Mount Sinai, got the Ten Commandments. Yeah, that's quite a famous one. When old Moses went up the mountain and got the Ten Commandments, and then they made this golden calf, and God wasn't too pleased with them. Nearly slaughtered them all for doing that. Even though Moses was up the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And down he came, and off they went back and made their way to the Promised Land. And we've been going through that story, looking at what it's like and what was happening. And this is where we got to. They get to the Promised Land. And you can just see, that's the bit when they get into the Promised Land there. And I wasn't going to do this as a sketchboard, but I was going to do it next week. And then I realised... some of the younger people were going to be here, so I thought I'd do the sketchboard and it'll give me a good practice for next week when I go to a church. The only trouble is I've forgotten what that word is, so I'm going to have to look it up. Oh, it's right on the side here. Oh, yeah, I've got it. Okay, because a lot of these words are going to begin with F, not the top two, of course. Just to give me a second, I'm just going to... the question is, when they got there, they get to the edge of the Promised Land, right? So, yeah, we got to the edge of the Promised Land, and they're all there. Thousands of them, perhaps up to a million, I don't know, but how many there were exactly, but there's a lot of people, and they're just about to go into the Promised Land, and they had to make a decision. Was it the truth? Was God telling them the truth? Was he going to give them this land floating with milk and honey? Yeah. So either it was truth, or doesn't begin with F. Either it was truth or lies. Can't be anything in between. Either he's going to give them the Promised Land, or it's just lies and it's not going to work. Yeah? So they've got to make a decision. So they're going to trust him. That's the point. So they send the spies in. So anyway, that's the reading. Yeah. I haven't done the whole reading. You can read it for yourself. Or I didn't want to read the whole of Numbers 13 and 14. You're going to get bored. So he said, send some men. This is what God said. Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. So he's giving it to the Israelites. Yeah, you got that? Is that truth or lies? Well, it should have been truth, but they're going to believe it. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So that's what they did. They picked out one guy from each tribe. There's 12 tribes. So guess how many people there were? 12 of them, yeah? And two of these guys, one from the... I'm not going to go through them all, but two of them who turned out to be slightly different from the others. One was from the tribe of Judah, and it was Caleb, son of Jephunneh, I suppose that's pronounced. And from the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, son of Nun. And Moses gave him the name Joshua. And that's an easy one, because Joshua is the same name as Jesus, basically. All comes from the same root, which means saviour. So Joshua, he was... And actually, interestingly enough, Joshua later took over from Moses. So he really did become the saviour, because he starts running the thing. But the other guy, Caleb, his name is interesting as well, but we're going to go into that in a minute. Was it truth or lies? Were they going to believe or weren't they going to believe? I want to do something here, and Josephine doesn't know I'm going to do this. But I'd like you to come and stand about there, Josephine. You're going to tell us about faith, you see. So if you stand there facing the people. That's it. Now, and you need a bit of help, you see, to do this. So, Jeremiah and Emmanuel, would you mind standing next to your mum? Either side, if you stand one side and one the other. Believe it or not, these two guys once were little. They were smaller than Josephine. In fact, they came out of Josephine. Can you believe that? Their dad's very tall, by the way. Yeah. Now, can you hold hands? Josephine used to take them to the side of the road and just take them across the road. And they said, come on. And she'd walk them across and they wouldn't even look, because they trusted their mum completely, that she would always keep them safe. It's quite possible now if she tried to do that now. They go, hang about, mum, I'm not going, that car's coming, it's too close. Because they now make their own decision, because they're now men. And now they can make their own decision about how to cross the road. My wife does it all the time. We're holding hands uptown. I'll go across the road and suddenly I'm gone. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get run over and runs, and I let go. Because she doesn't trust me, you see. She made her own decision. I'm always going to make my own decision, not following you. You're crazy, she says. You're crazy. But I said, well, I've got brakes. But anyway, but now, you see, the thing is, the Bible says a very interesting thing. Unless you come as a little child, you're never going to make it in the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. Yeah, unless you come as a little child, you cannot come to me. So actually, we've got to trust God like these two lads here used to trust Josephine. But that's quite difficult. When you become adults, it's now much more difficult to cross the road with your mum, because you've got your own thoughts and your own ideas. And you go, well, I'm going to decide when I cross the road. I'm not trusting mum. And that's quite reasonable, because Josephine rightly has brought her kids up to look across the road, and now they do it sensibly, and they can do it all on their own. They don't need her. But the interesting thing is, we need God, don't we? All the time. And that's a demonstration of faith, you see. As we grow up, it's very difficult then to come as little children and trust God. So it's difficult. It's very easy for us to say, well, the children of Israel, you've got to trust in God. But there's like millions of them. How can they make this decision? Just to all do it the same. It's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. Thanks, boys. Thank you, Josephine. And you see what I'm getting at? Yeah, I've got something else here. And you're going to have to trust me. I like this. I brought this out of school. And you have actually seen this before, some of you. I took this into secondary school the other day, and I said, this is absolutely unique. You'll never see this again. I got it off someone, because there's only about three or four produced. So I said, man, can I have one? And he said, yeah. So I laminated it. That's the whole of the Bible on one bit of paper. You'll have to trust me, because if you look at it, it looks like a bit of grey, doesn't it? It's not good. And if you photocopied that or tried to print it, it'd come out just a grey mess, because your printer isn't good enough to produce that. I showed this to a printer, a guy who's actually imprinting, and he said, I don't know how they did that. That's stunning. I don't know how anybody can print that finely. Do you believe me? I'll tell you what, Jerry, can you do me a favour? You're young and you've got good eyes. Take that magnifying glass there, and I'm going to give you a bit of light. Yeah. And what we need to do is look through that bigger microscope there, or See if you can see the words. Can you see the words? We tried this earlier. I don't know if you can read any, can you? But can you see its words? Are they words separate? Are they proper words?
Proper words.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So they're proper words, yeah? Mm-hmm. Now the interesting thing is, Jerry's got a bit of an advantage in you because he's seen it. But he came out to see it because I invited him. But he's got an advantage over all of you now. Because he's actually seen it. You can come and have a look later if you like. But I think it's dead interesting because there's a little bit of difference now. Because he's seen it and you haven't. You're just completely trusting me that it's. I'm not telling you, giving you a load of old twaddle. You know, it's just a bit of greyness there. That's not writing at all. But it is. And it's the same thing, you see. Was it truth or lies? So what did they do? They sent the old spies in, and they stayed there for 40 days. So they did quite a few hundred miles, apparently. And I'll give him a red coat. I'll give him an orange one. And there they were. And they came out of the promised land, and carrying stuff, yeah? And this bunch of grapes they carried was so big that it had two blokes to carry it. In fact, you changed the thing there. Oh no, sorry, I'm going to go through this bloke. I'll go do him in a minute. I'll do that. Flash a few through, Jerry. Do another one, and then another one. There, look. Yeah, that's what it must have been like. Like carrying this bunch of grapes, you know, that's how big this bunch of grapes was. You see, they found out that the promised land was absolutely, begins with F. Can you guess the word? Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Look at all these grapes, they're fantastic. It's great. Let's go back. Just quickly go through. See, this guy, what was the other guy's name? Caleb. His name's made up in Hebrew from three bits. I just wanted to do this out of interest. Kaf, which means like the hand. Lamed, which means a staff or authority. And Bayet, which means like a dwelling, or it can mean the Son of God. So Caleb, when you break it down, it means one who has allowed himself, yeah, to come under the authority and dwell in the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? That in the Old Testament, talking in that guy's name, there's the gospel. He's allowed. The hand, what exactly was the hand? It means that he's all heart, wholehearted. That's what Caleb means. And the hand, it means to cover or to open or to allow. So he's allowing the authority, member of the staff, of the Son of God to dwell in his life. That's what his name means. And I think that's quite incredible that in the Old Testament, we talk about Jesus being in the Old Testament and being prophesied, and that's what his name means. And he was one of the spies who went in, and he agreed it was fabulous. So there's Joshua and Caleb, they're saying, yeah, it was fabulous. And so were all the others. But all the others, all the other 10, said the only trouble is a big, there's a big but. You see, the land is full of fortified cities. And I've tried to draw the men on top looking over with the swords and all that lark. And they were so big, and we felt so very small. How can we defeat them? This is a great land. But there's these great big fortified cities. And these people are so big. And they've got so much equipment and they're all set up to fight us. And there's no chance, because if we go in there, it will be absolutely, and it begins with F. What will it be? It will be fatal. You see, all they could think of was their blood. Did you get it right?
Yes, I
did. All they could think of was their blood flowing when they go in and have this battle. You see, they thought God was telling lies, that he's not going to give them the land. But think what had happened. There's a bit of history here, isn't it? He took them through the Red Sea. They escaped from Egypt. Yeah? He gave them the Ten Commandments. They saw all the flashing on the top of the mountain and all that. And he came down and gave them the Ten Commandments. He takes them through the wilderness. And within a few weeks, they're right on the edge of the promised land. But they're going, oh, we can't go in. And then the thing is this, the report was really good, but the people were stronger than we are. We can't go in. But then Caleb and Joshua said, yes, we can. But then it became like, a bit like a pantomime. Oh, yes, we can. And the other ten's going, oh, no, we can't. And they said, oh, yes, we can. Oh, no, we can't. You see, the other ten of them are saying, no, we can't go in because the land devours people, isn't it? So, man, it was getting worse. And not only did we feel like small, we felt like grasshoppers with these great big people. They could have just trod on us. Hit the thing again. Go past that and the next one. They'd promulgate some figs as well. And do you know what they did? All night, all the people believed the ten, and they all cried all night, weeping. Hang about. It's a bit crazy, isn't it? Why are they crying? Nothing's happened. Nobody's been killed. The land's great. Why are they crying? It does make you ask that question. I was laying in bed after, what on earth were they crying about? If you stick the thing there, it says, look, they're Moses and Aaron. Oh, no, that's the next bit. Oh, go backwards, go backwards. Let's think about this. Go back the other way. That's it, go back the other way. That's it, sorry. It's because I'm mixing up the sketchboard and that. The thing is this, they're crying because they just can't make it. You see, they'd rather trust themselves than trust in God. A bit like Adam and Eve, he gave them everything. He said, you can do what you like. What did they do? They did what they liked. Anything, you can do anything you like, but don't take from that tree. What did they do? They took from the tree. These people have got a choice. Either you go out or in. And they said, we think you're telling lies, God. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They thought God was telling lies. They said, well, if we eat of the tree, it won't matter. You see, they'd love darkness rather than light. They even said, let's get another leader. Let's go back to Egypt. How crazy is that? Who will feed them? Where would the water come from? What will it be like back in Egypt when they get back there? Only going to be slaves again. That would have been a suicide mission. So maybe that's why they cried, because they didn't know where to go. We can't go back and we can't go forward. They were tempted to rebel and go back. That's a bit like us. Ever tempted to go back? Go, man, this is hard, this life. This being a Christian's hard. I've got to go against the tide. When I mention me God at work, they look at me like I'm crazy. One of my cousins once said to me, I can't mention God at work. They think I'm mad. We speak out, we get shunned. We speak to our family. They sneer at us and go, oh, you believe that religious stuff? Give someone a bit of Christian literature. They go, that's religious. It does happen. I was in Leicester Square the other day. Sometimes you have good days, sometimes you have bad days. Man, I couldn't hold anybody. Hundreds of people there, all flowing past. The ones that did stop didn't stop for long, they pushed off. Oh, it's religious, I'm going. It hurts, doesn't it? Perhaps you should go back and just live for money. Self. Do what we like. Live as we want to. Maybe that's a bit easier. But you know, Jesus said, if you live like that, you'll lose your life. If you live, you lose your life for me, you'll find it. Is Jesus telling lies or is it the truth? Then it gets worse. You know the Israel situation that's going on at the moment? I'm listening to a lot about that. Do you know, a lot of people, very pro-Palestinian, and they're saying, oh, they shouldn't be going in there killing people. It's, you know, it's true, we feel sorry for both sides, don't we? That's right, we should be praying for both sides. But the Bible says the whole world's going to turn against Israel. Very interesting. And if you speak about it, man, you watch the reaction you'll get. This is what it says in Zechariah 12. I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth gather against her, hello, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all nations. I'm not saying this, this is God. Yeah. All who try to move it will injure themselves. That's not me speaking, that's God speaking. When my mate used to say this, he used to say one day, another version says it will become a cup of trembling. You'll be holding your coffee and you go, oh man, they're mentioning Jerusalem. Susan said to me the other day, I don't know what's Channel 4 news, it's too frightening. And the next day, someone on Channel 5, or, you know, like the news channel on Radio 5 Live, said, it's a reporter. He said, I don't like talking about this stuff. It makes me tremble. Man, I thought I'd never hear that. That's a reporter. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced. This is the Old Testament, by the way, not New Testament. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for a child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Israel's going to turn back to God. I believe that's true. And might be because it's so bad, they go, man, God help us. I was reading a book about the Holocaust last night. Tough time. But what was God saying? He was saying to the people, for goodness sake, turn back to me. Because you've rejected me all these years. We're going to believe the Bible, or we're going to believe the news. Pray for both sides. It's terrible that kids are getting killed. It's terrible that women and children are getting killed. It's terrible that people that aren't soldiers are getting killed. But you know, we need to stand on the word of God as well. Where do we stand? You know, we're supposed to suffer the gospel because Jesus suffered. But we'll be vindicated in the end. What's Moses' reaction to all this? Hit the button, Jerry. Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the Israelite community. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb said, among those who were spoiled of the land, they said, the entire Israel assembly, the land we pass through is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased, he'll lead us into the land flowing with milk and honey and give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people, because we will devour them. Their protection's gone. Do not be afraid of them. They bowed down in front of them. They didn't get the hump. They didn't get angry. That reminds us what we should do, doesn't it? They bowed down and said, for goodness sake, don't turn against the Lord. Give them a few heads. They look better. And you know what they did? They picked up stones and they wanted to stone them. What had they done wrong? All they'd done was fell down. And these people wanted to kill them. I think the next bit says that, doesn't it? Hit it again. Yeah, they wanted to kill them. But then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting, and the Lord says to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they say I'm a liar? That's what they were saying. He's their God. They were a very special people. He'd done a load for them. The best, he'd chosen them. You must think, why did God choose them? Men are a load of rotters, aren't they? Actually, the same as, it reflects on us as well, doesn't it? Because we're a bit like that. You know, we don't always go where God wants us to go. We don't always trust God completely, do we? We don't always trust like the boys used to trust Josephine. We don't always trust like that, do we? That's why Jesus said, you've got to come as a little child. You just got to trust me. You just got to trust me that that is the Bible. Jerry now knows because he went out to look. Yeah. How long will they refuse to believe me in spite of all the signs I performed among them? I'll strike them down with a plague and destroy them. I'll make a great nation of you stronger than they. You see, God was absolutely hang on, have I got that right? No. I should have put furious. But anyway, I'm still. What word was I going to put in there? I can't remember. You'd have to forgive me. Oh, hang on. I just spelt it wrong, I think. Forgive me. I'll make it failed. No, that's the wrong word. That's only now. Oh, man, I don't know what I've done wrong here. Anyway, never mind. I'm going to put it up here. This is a practice. I've never done this before. God was absolutely furious with them. You see, God's a God of love, but enough is enough, isn't it? The Bible says if we keep on turning against God, he will be furious with us. But do you know what Moses did? He came before God and said, God, don't destroy these people. They were going to stone him to death. Bearing in mind, they were going to stone Moses to death. And instead, Moses treats them with love. And he cries out to God on their behalf. He said, God, don't hold this sin against them. Who does that remind you of? Reminds you of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said that one day someone like Moses would come along. He did. What did Jesus say on the cross when they nailed him cruelly to a cross after doing so many wonderful things? He said, Father, forgive them. I don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They were killing God. They were trying to kill God here, weren't they? And again, they were trying to kill God. But you see, God's way was to take the punishment, take his own fury on himself out of love. And that's exactly what Moses did. The Lord's anger was aroused. We've got to be ever so careful. Man, I think this is scary. The Lord's anger was aroused. And God said that he would delay his judgment against the people. He won't do it. He didn't kill all the people because he loved them. And you know, it's amazing that Moses prayed and everything changed. The only sad thing is that all the guys, the 10 guys who went into the land died of a disease. I wonder where they got the disease. Maybe they got the disease by going into the air and they picked something up. But it's interesting that Joshua and Caleb didn't die. That's interesting, isn't it? What's the last thing? At the end of the thing, they suddenly said, we've got to repent. We've got to change. And they're absolutely right. I said, what we're going to do, we're going to go into the land and we're going to take it. And Moses said, don't do that, because God's not with you. For goodness sake, don't do that. But they had the presumption. Now, wasn't this crazy? Just now they didn't want to do it. And now they say, okay, we're going to do it. But it's too late. They'd all rebelled against God. And he said, no, that's it. You're going to have to wander in the desert for 40 years. And nobody's going to get in. All those over 20, you're all going to die in the desert. They didn't die immediately, but they did spend 40 years in the desert and they all died. But you know, then they took up arms and they went to the hills and they went and attacked the people in the land. And they completely failed. Isn't that sad? Right, that's the end of the story. They failed and they got beaten. Why did they fail? There's only one way to have success. Is to have God with you. If you flash it through, I think I've missed a few bits, but keep going. You see, Jesus, what did he say? I'm the vine. You're the branches. And unless you're in me, you'll never succeed. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. But you know, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives only if we're connected to the vine. And they weren't connected to the vine anymore. They were saying, we're going to do it on our own. If you go out on the street and speak to people, unless we've got God with us and say to them, I have these leaflets. We need God with us, don't we? We can't do it on our own strength. Otherwise, we're going to fail. And when people get the hump, we're going to be really angry, aren't we? God wants us to spread his word. And I hope you do too. But you know, we need to go and take the kingdom in his power. What did John say? I found this. John the Baptist said a very interesting thing. Or it was said about John the Baptist. Jesus said this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence and violent people have been raiding it. What he's saying, you've got to get up and take the kingdom. Don't just sit around and going, oh yeah, I believe that. And then we all sit around and wait for heaven. God wants us to take the kingdom and trust him and really do the stuff for him. How do we do that? He wants us to really trust him in our lives every day. Are we going to stand on the side of the road and trust God and allow him to help us cross the road to do the stuff? We can't do it without him. I hope that's useful. We're thinking about, aren't it? But they didn't believe God. Do we believe God? Let's get on with it and really take the kingdom. Let's really allow him to be part of our lives each day. And work out our salvation each day. That's what we should be doing. Working out, okay, God, what should I be doing? What do you want me to do? Because the kingdom of God's within us. And he wants us to use that kingdom to bring other people in. That's it.